hospital?
When poison happens, Poison Help is here. We're the free 24/7 hotline that answers your poison questions. With expert advice from local professionals, available at no charge in over 100 languages, make the right call in a poison emergency. Call Poison Help. 1-800-222-1222. Or visit poisonhelp.hrsa.gov.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day of frigid weather before that winter storm moves into the Northeast. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z is tracking it.
All the way from Erie, Pennsylvania, back to Paris, Texas, we have advisories. There's ice storm warning that includes Fayetteville, Arkansas this morning, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a winter storm warning. And that's where that ice is falling as freezing rain. It falls as rain and then it freezes on contact, makes a very thick glaze. And that could happen all the way up through parts of Missouri and Illinois tonight. So even Chicago could have slick roads tonight through early tomorrow. Then it's going to be mostly snow as it moves into Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island for tomorrow.
The race for the 2024 presidential nomination is now down to two major candidates with just one full day to go before New Hampshire's first in the nation GOP primary tomorrow. Both Nikki Haley and Donald Trump have events lined up for today. Former President Trump claiming he'll testify in the E. Jean Carroll trial to decide how much he owes her for defaming her about a sex assault in the mid-90s. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
Advocates are pressing Wisconsin schools and farmers to take advantage of a new federal grant program to get locally sourced food into cafeterias. Kids Forward is a Wisconsin-based youth and family advocacy organization. It's one of several organizations in the Great Lakes region promoting a new grant program from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Lake Michigan School Food System Innovation Hub will give out grants of up to $250,000 to connect schools with local food. The program will put an emphasis on projects that would aid areas without equitable access to resources. The largest grants will be doled out over the span of 2.5 years. Smaller grants of up to $75,000 will be distributed over the course of a single year. The program is funded by the USDA, but is overseen by the Illinois Public Health Institute. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
A little breezy this morning, otherwise cloudy. 32 today with a little light freezing drizzle by late this afternoon. Tonight, some light rain, snow, maybe some freezing drizzle. Kind of a mixed bag tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, more of the same. Some rain, some snow, a little freezing drizzle with a high near 34. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25.
99.7.
Drums, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best.
riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
And more. Love Jack. You say.
Oh, tainted love. 99 Max FM.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? I'll play along with the charade. That doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night.
Jesse's girl, there is Rick Springfield. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 10 minutes after 8. Finn, we also threw some DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince in there. Some summertime, as we talked about during our birthday list. DJ Jazzy Jeff celebrating his 59th birthday today. So, you know, we could use a little summertime, and it was appropriate that it came from DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, that's for sure. And really, honestly, with the upgrade in temperatures this week, it's going to feel a little bit like summertime if you just compare it to what we had last week with the wind chill. So I'm kind of down for these 30s. I'm okay with that. Now, I don't need the freezing drizzle to accompany it, but at least we're not, we don't have what's going on in Arkansas this morning. My goodness. I was just like, we have chasers down in Fort Smith, Arkansas. If you've been watching the news or been watching, you know, anything on the Weather Channel, they are getting a full out ice storm in parts of the South right now. And everything is just covered in a thick layer of ice. I mean, we've periodically get those around here, but boy, does life come to a standstill in the South when it gets anything winter like. And it's probably going to take them probably most of today to figure out how to navigate around all of the ice. So at least we won't have to deal with that, or at least let's keep our fingers crossed that that's not something we have to contend with up here.
Exactly.
But you know, you get these temperatures in the 30s this time of year, and they don't quite know what to do with that. The atmosphere doesn't. So you get the mixed bag, as Sean Cable's been calling it. Now, I found this interesting this morning, because we all know that I deal with allergies probably worse in the winter than I do in the summer. And so if you're somebody who deals with the allergies like I do, would you be willing to strap a comically large device to your face to help deal with them? If so, this is some really good news, because there's a new gadget out there called Nasal Calm, and it just hit Kickstarter. And all you do is strap it to your face for 15 minutes a day, and it supposedly makes your allergies a lot better. So how does it work? Well, it actually works by electrocuting your nose. Doesn't that sound awesome? So not only do you look like an idiot, but now you're being electrocuted. It has 6 electrodes, 3 for each nostril, that deliver small electric shocks to stimulate the muscles in your nose. And the makers of this actually claim that your nose muscles contract and relax, and that helps clear your sinuses and let you breathe a little easier. So really all you're doing is jiggling the snot out of there is essentially what they're telling me they're doing, right? Like, I don't know how else to interpret this. It is crazy, though.
But would you do it? Would you wear this thing?
Probably not. I feel like this is like one step maybe too far in the allergy trying to get rid of them sense.
Because I know how much you suffer with allergies.
Oh, it's ridiculous. This weekend was horrible. I don't think I took like one, like was able to inhale it all through my nose. It was ridiculous. Now, this Nasal Calm thing is small enough to take with you so you can use it anywhere. And there's a promo video right now that shows a guy using it at his desk at work. People are going to think you're insane if you do, by the way. The downside is it's pretty bulky on your face, so you will be the weird one in the office. They plan to sell this thing for $100. You can get it for $60 right now if you back them on Kickstarter. They claim it'll ship in March, just in time for allergy season. All right. No, this is, I mean, you think that those nose strips that they sell on TV are weird? Right. This is like a contraption that comes up to the bridge of your nose, around both sides of your nostrils, and then it's a large strap that goes all the way around your head.
I'm so looking at it right now. I'm looking at the picture of
is it not weird? It looks like you just had like nose surgery or something, doesn't it? It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was doing it at home, maybe. I don't know if I would pay. First of all, even if they're selling this thing for $100 and asking $60 on Kickstarter, until real people have used it and I know it actually works, I would not bite on something like this. Because sometimes those Kickstarter things are weird. Sometimes they're the most amazing things ever. But at the same time, until it actually hits people's faces and I find out that it works, I would not jump on this. I guess it depends on how desperate I am. I can take enough cold medicine and allergy medicine as a right now to keep things at bay for the most part, but I would have to wait to see if it actually works. That would be my whole thing with it.
This is not something you would probably wear in the office.
You would be weird. You would be that weird person in the office.
You would be the brunt of many jokes, probably.
Yes.
You would become Darth Vader of the office because you're wearing this strange looking thing. It's not as cumbersome as I had expected. I mean, it's awkward, but it's not quite as, I don't know, I expected something a little... bigger.
It like shocks you a little bit. It shocks like your nose and your nostrils. So first, I also want to know, like, can you actually feel that? Can I feel it doing something? Because that's something completely different. If it's just doing its thing and I can't feel it, that's one thing. But if I can actually feel like little shocks going in through my nose, I don't want to feel that. Like, I don't need that in my life. So I would have to find out a whole lot more about this and actually hear from people who have used it before I would be like, okay, this is the holy grail to ending the allergies.
So as desperate as you are, you're not that desperate.
Not yet. I mean, talk to me in May, because right now, if this is any indication of what my summer allergies and spring allergies are going to be like, this is ridiculous. Corey just said to me the other day, he's like, you are so weird. I've never met anybody who has winter allergies. And apparently, according to my chiropractor, this is not as weird as everybody thinks
it is. I used to have them. I don't have them anymore, but it used to be really bad right around December and January. Oh. I mean, to the point, you know, those times where you're sneezing so hard that your eyes are watering. You can't even see. You can't even open your eyes.
I basically sound like I have a perpetual cold is what I sound like. And I just can't shake it. Like, my nose is always stuffy. I like my eyes water, and it's ridiculous. And just about the time that these let up, then the spring stuff is going to hit. So I'll get like about a week of a reprieve from them, and then the spring stuff will hit. So should be great. Sucks. Good times. So hopefully this thing comes out, and then I can hear what, you know, if it comes out in March, that gives me enough time, right? Like, I could still order one of these things and let the little electrodes like zap my nose into my allergies into submission. I don't know. It's very strange, but you can definitely check it out. And if you're desperate, more desperate than I am right now, and I got to tell you, this headache that's accompanied these allergies for the last like couple weeks, it's ridiculous and it's brutal. It's like right in between my eyes. It just never lets up, and it's just, but it's not like a bad pain. It's just like this dull pain, and it's just always there. And I think it's just because my nose is so stuffy and my sinuses are just trying to breathe. They're drew something. Ugh.
And that's the thing. I mean, you get to a point where you can't take it anymore, and you'll literally do just about anything to take the pain or the suffering away. Because
yesterday was one of those days, because my nose was so stuffy, and my chiropractor says it has something to do with the dryness of the air and all of that kind of stuff. That's what he has been told over the years. Obviously, chiropractor, not an MD, but he's like, I've been told that it has something to do, makes it worse with the dryness of the air, and that would totally make sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so yesterday it was just one of those days, and everything was very congested. I couldn't shake it. My head was pounding. And so I just sat in the chair with like a warm rag on my head for a little bit, you know, like I had needed my vapors or something. And so because I was like, this is just ridiculous. So, but nothing really lets it up. You know, it's just got to kind of clear on its own. Then it gets into the throat a little bit. So if somebody else tries this and it actually works, then maybe I would bite until like I actually know that there's evidence this is going to do something for me.
Yeah,
it's just another weird thing on Kickstarter. It makes me look weird, like something like from Star Trek or Star Wars or something. When you put it on your face, it's
it looks
very
like
strange.
Bane in that one Batman movie, that kind of a little bit like that.
Yeah, it's weird. Hey, we've got to talk a little bit about puppies and kitties here this morning, because over at the Sauk County Humane Society, they've got a couple of furry little friends who need really great homes right now. And we want to start by talking about our dog of the week, Luna, who is a 3.5-year-old German Shepherd Husky mix. She's actually been the pet of the week twice before, and she is still available for adoption, has been since August of last year. So if you're looking to add an awesome, awesome dog to your house, Luna would be it, because she is just beautiful. She's still, though, waiting for that forever home. And she's had some interest, but then everybody kind of backs out or can't take her for some sort of reason. So she is a red-brown color. She's gorgeous. And she is an eye-catcher when you take a look at her photo. She is playful. She enjoys a good game of fetch. She frequently meets you at her kennel door with a toy in her mouth for a walk and some playtime, as well as some snuggles, all the important stuff in life. She could share her home with another dog. She's a bit dominant, so she needs a dog that's okay with that, or another dog who's okay putting Luna in her place. She would be okay with cats and kids as well. She is spayed. She'll be microchipped and up to date on vaccines before going home. And really, let's not let Luna be the pet of the week for the fourth time. All right. No. So let's really, really get her into a great home. She is absolutely gorgeous. She looks very inquisitive. So if you are interested, make sure you make an appointment to see Luna, because she deserves a home, and she's been waiting for so long. She just needs somebody to love her, right?
Sweet little girl.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So check her out. Then our cat of the week is Desiree. She is a 2-year-old muted tortie, short hair, domestic mix. She certainly prefers humans to toys. A wand toy might entice her, but she's all about lap time and your attention. She's going to rub your legs. She's going to paw at you to remind you that she's there, and why are you ignoring her? I get that too. She would be the gal who's excited to greet you when you return home and snuggle with you on a really cold winter day. She will be spayed, microchipped, and up to date on vaccines before she goes home. What a sweet girl. Absolutely gorgeous.
The picture. She looks like she's been caught in the act in the
picture. Yeah, she does. It's like, she does.
What am I?
Yeah,
what?
And she's playing with her little wand toy there.
Yeah.
So check out Desiree if you're looking for a kitty that really loves its people. And of course, over at the Humane Society, they love their volunteers. They're going to be holding a volunteer orientation on Saturday, February 3rd at 10 a.m. There are all sorts of ways that you can help out the Humane Society and these pets like Luna and Desiree. If you want to work directly with them, that's an option. Some people prefer to work at the desk or on special events that they hold to raise money. Those are all options as well, but you have to get your application at sockhumane.org. So make sure you do that. That's also the same place that you can go to catch photos of Luna and catch photos of Desiree and some of the other amazing pets that they have in their care right now who just want a forever home like Luna. Let's not make her the pet of the week for the fourth time. Let's get her a really great home. She's been there. She's been waiting. And they're taking excellent care of her. But, you know, every pet deserves their forever home. So let's get Luna into somebody's home for the rest of the winter months. She looks like she'd be a great running friend or maybe like a boating companion this summer. She just looks like she's up for any sort of adventure. So I think Luna would be perfect in our Wisconsin atmosphere, don't you?
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
Sockhumane.org for more information. Now, of course, we got to talk about our forecast here, Finn, because it's still a little breezy out this morning, but clouds are going to stick around today as well. 32 for a high. We do have that chance for some light freezing drizzle by late this afternoon. At least I'm seeing some peaks of sunshine this morning. So we have that going for us. A lot of clouds, but some peaks every now and then out here on Goose Poop Pond. Then tonight, some light rain possible, some snow, some freezing drizzle mixed in there as well. It's really going to be a little bit of everything, a low near 30. Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing. Rain, snow, some freezing drizzle possible. 34 for a high. Right now, it's 25. Time for your community calendar brought to you by Community First Bank.
Hello, this is Lori Berry from the Investment Center at Community First Bank. Does your retirement plan fit your vision? Your plan should be as unique as you are. Whatever you envision, make sure you have the right investment mix, risk tolerance, and time horizon to get you from point A to point B. Contact me today at 960-7757 to make sure your strategy aligns with your retirement dream. Experience the difference at the Investment Center at Community First Bank. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Securities and insurance offered through LPL or its affiliates are not insured by FDIC or any other government agency, not bank guaranteed, not bank deposits or obligations may lose value.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. The Carnegie Shoddy Memorial Public Library will be hosting their library dedication, open house, and next chapter gala. The dedication will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 27th, and the open house continuing until noon. That part is a free event and open to all, no tickets needed. Come together and celebrate the culmination of years of planning, hard work, and dedication. Library tours will follow speeches at 10 a.m. Refreshments will be provided from the Friends of the Carnegie Shoddy Memorial Public Library as well. And then that evening from 6 until 9:30, it's the Next Chapter Gala. That event will have cocktails and appetizers, live piano entertainment, and dueling pianos. That is a ticketed event. You can get all the details and get your tickets by going to csmpl.org/expansion or just head to their website and click on the banner on the first page. And once again, talented show choirs from all across the state will be in Sauk Prairie on Friday and Saturday. Check out their website for all the details, but tickets are available for Friday night only for $10, Saturday prelims only for $15, $10 for Saturday finals only, or you can get an all-day pass for $20 on Saturday, or $25 will get you a full weekend pass, plus ticket options available for students and 5 and under are free. A link can be found by going to SaucPrairie.com and click the events tab, or you can just go to the SaucPrairieSchools.org website.
Maximum music. Max FM.
8:25 right now with Billy Idol. This is Moni Moni, 99.7 Max FM. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It is just about 8:30 now, and oh, we always love some Billy Idol, don't we? That's a great one in the morning. Yeah. It just feels like you get up and going a little bit when you hear Billy Idol shouting Moni Moni at you. Now, here's a reminder from Sauk County. If you're a snowmobiler, those snowmobile trails are going to be closing tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So that is Tuesday, January 23rd at 6 a.m. The snowmobiles trails officially close. Boy, those things aren't open very long, are they? Didn't they just open last week?
Holy
buckets. Yeah. Holy buckets. So get in any snowmobiling you can today if you want to still use those trails, because your time is up tomorrow morning. My goodness. We've got some calendar days we have to take a look at today, because anytime you can celebrate something on a Monday, it's always worth it. We need all the help we can get on a Monday. So we're going to start out with Answer Your Cat's Questions Day today. Maybe you have a vocal cat. Maybe you know that your cat is very curious. But if that's the case, this is your day to look at them and then really meditate on what they are trying to ask you, and then answer the questions that your cat may have. That might mean you need to get out of the house a little bit more, quite honestly. But, you know, everybody talks to their pet in their own way. So if this is something you really want to do, spend some time on this, trying to figure out what your cat is thinking. Be careful with that one, though, because we know cats really want to take over the world and they want us dead. So you need to be a little careful with that one, quite honestly. Let's see. Today is also Come In From The Cold Day, which is very appropriate here in the great state of Wisconsin and most of the Midwest the last few days. At least things are warming up. So we might actually want to spend more time outside today versus the last few
32
days.
32 for a high.
Brutal, ooh, right? Wow. I know it's like a heat wave. That's like a 100-degree swing from those 30 below wind chills that we had last week. It's absolutely crazy. This is one I can always get behind. It's International Sweatpants Day today, Finn. You know, the tracksuit bottoms, jogging pants, whatever you want to call comfy them. I don't clothes. Care. They're the comfy clothes, the stretchy ones, the ones you grab after your Thanksgiving meal. They're the ones that you can do basically anything in, and we love our sweatpants. Some of us maybe too much. I do love my sweatpants, and I spend a lot of time in them. Although this weekend, I looked at Corey, and I was like, I'm really tired of being in sweatpants. We need to go do something at some point in time, because I'm tired of wearing my sweatpants. you get to that point, too, though, right? Like, you just are stuck, and you just keep putting them on at day after day, and you're like, yep, because, I mean, what else am I going to wear when I'm vacuuming and taking care of the dog and doing dishes? I don't need to look great to do those
things.
Do you
run errands with your sweatpants on?
It depends on where I have to go. You know, if I'm just running into Walmart for a couple things, yeah, I probably am not going to change. If I have multiple errands to run and have to go in multiple places, then I'm going to try to look a little bit nicer. But yeah, if I'm just running in real quick for something, I don't care. Whatever. Let's see. It is also National Polka Dot Day today. So of course, we're talking about the pattern of polka dots. And this has been celebrated on this day since 2016. And it really is used to celebrate Minnie Mouse, who's known for often wearing polka dots. So there you go. I love that. Minnie Mouse is the best. Let's see. Then we have a bunch of good food ones on the list. Today is National Southern Food Day. So any Southern food that you can possibly think of, this is your day to eat it. Fried chicken, barbecue, catfish, the grits, collard greens, biscuits. I always think of like cornbreads and things like that. So this is your day to enjoy some good old-fashioned Southern food. It's also National Hot Sauce Day today. So if you're somebody who loves a little spice in life, you pull that hot sauce out and you can add it to your fried chicken a little later on if you want to combine a couple of things into one.
Works for and me. It doesn't work for you, does it? You're not into the hot sauces.
It depends on what it is. Like, it can't be mouth on fire, can't get rid of it kind of hot, but I like a little zing and a little spice to things. But it can't be, you know, it can't be so hot that I feel like my mouth
burn
is flaming an hour's later, you know? Like, I want it in, like, I want the flavor of it, and then it needs to be over. I don't need that like in my mouth for forever. And then finally, we end with, ooh, this is a good one, National Blonde Brownie Day today. Of course, we're talking about, you know, the brownies that are more like a yellow color instead of the dark chocolate color, but so delicious. My mom used to call those like bow tie or chocolate mousse brownies or something like that, because then she'd put like white chocolate chips in them, and oh, they were so, so good. So Blonde Brownie Day is today as well. It's a good way to end it, right? Something sweet and delicious. And who doesn't love a brownie? Come on now. We all love a good brownie. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. Finn, you mentioned it. It's going to be 32 for a high today. It's going to feel amazing after those below zero temperatures through much of last week. We'll talk a little bit about that, plus what we can expect as far as precipitation, because we have a little bit of everything headed our way, potentially. Some rain, some snow, some freezing drizzle. Sean Cable's going to tell you more about that in just a moment. We'll also have a look at local sports with Mike Ganger and Chris Hobble, our Packers expert, joining us for the very last time this season as we put a nice little bow on the Packers season after it came to an end Saturday night in California against the 49ers. Hanging with Hobble, brought to you by Tricor Insurance, is next here on Max FM.
High fashion doesn't have to mean a high price tag. Amber Lux Consignment Boutique in downtown Baraboo has name brand women, men, infant, and children clothing items, shoes, designer handbags, gift items, and much more. Women owned and operated, Amber Lux Consignment Boutique is located at 121 Fifth Street in Baraboo. New items are added daily. Stop in Tuesday through Saturday to find your new fashion focus for less at Amber Lux Consignment Boutique of Baraboo.
Ladies, are you a do-it-yourselfer? I'm Laura from Medical Imaging at Reedsburg Area Medical Center. Routine mammograms can now be scheduled fast and easy through your RAMC MyChart account. Not a do-it-yourselfer? You can still give us a call at 768-6229, and we would be happy to schedule your mammogram for you. Either way, our caring and highly trained mammographers look forward to seeing you. Reedsburg Area Medical Center, going beyond the expected in breast health.
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger. Very busy past weekend. It was the Badger Challenge for boys basketball teams in the conference. On Friday night, Portage fell to Watertown 56-46. And Reedsburg also lost on Friday evening 66-63 to Forest, able to get the better of the Beavers. These were all played at Oregon High School. On Saturday, it was Edgewood falling to Fort Atkinson 67-56. Then McFarland also loses to Oregon. The host gets the 83-64 win. Baraboo able to get the first win for their side of the conference with a 71-58 victory against Milton. Sauk Prairie then fell to Beaver Dam 77-59, and then Mount Horeb 76-63 win over Monona Grove. And finally, Wanakia loses to Stoughton 60-54. In girls' hoops on Friday, Reedsburg 60-50 winners over Sauk Prairie, and Lodi gets the win at home against Portage 55-30. And Saturday in girls' hoops, Reedsburg with another victory. They head to Platteville and come away with a 67-59 win. Hockey action from over the weekend. Sauk Prairie Eagles 4-3 winners against McFarland. Amory wins over Reedsburg Wisconsin Dells 2-1. And on the girls' side, the Badger Lightning get a win at Pierce Park on Saturday 1-0 over Brookfield. On the conference tonight, boys' hoops for Sauk Prairie, as they'll be hosting River Valley at 7:15, and for Portage, it's going to be the girls' basketball team playing host to Poinette. Again, that one also tips off at 7:15. Season comes to an end for the Green Bay Packers after a 24-21 loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Despite overachieving to even get to that point, it was a tough way to see the season come to an end. Packers actually led 21-14 heading into the fourth quarter. Missed opportunities in that final frame. The Packers' final four drives were an interception, a punt, a missed field goal, and another interception. San Francisco able to score 10 points in that fourth quarter to take the victory. After the game, head coach Matt LaFleur was asked about that lead slipping away there at the end.
Well, I think anytime there's a finality to the season, it's always tough unless you're the last team standing. And for us to lose this game certainly stings, and I'm sure it's going to sting for a long time. But I was proud of the effort of our guys, our ability to weather some real adversity throughout the course of the season and stick together. And I told the guys, you know, I think part of the reason it stings so bad right now is we fully believed and fully expected to win this game.
Aaron Jones was fantastic in the game, had 108 yards on the ground, also a few catches. Jordan Love finished with 194, two touchdowns, and two interceptions, including that one that ultimately ended the game. Here's the quarterback on the takeaways from the season.
There's so many things. I think just understanding how small the margin for error is in this league, especially in critical games like this, when you win in advance, you lose, you go home. Just how important every play is, and just how locked in you got to be. And then, like I said, you know how critical situations are at the end of the game to go win it. Just how dialed in you got to be to take advantage of those games and win. But you know, there's so many areas and so many lessons I've learned throughout this season, and that the team's learned throughout the season that I think it's going to make us better in the future.
Certainly a bitter way to end it, but what a great run for the youngest team in football. With the win, the 49ers will now meet the Detroit Lions after the Lions get a 31-23 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. And then on the AFC side, it was the Ravens controlling things against the Texans 34-10. They'll now meet the Chiefs after Kansas City goes to Buffalo and gets another win in the postseason against the Bills 27-24, the final there. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
A little breezy this morning, otherwise cloudy. 32 today with a little light freezing drizzle by late this afternoon. Tonight, some light rain, snow, maybe some freezing drizzle. Kind of a mixed bag tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, more of the same. Some rain, some snow, a little freezing drizzle with a high near 34. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
99.7.
It's 8:40 right now and time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Our Packers expert, Chris Hovel, joins us for a fifth NFL season. He's a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press-Gazette, now in his 23rd season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel, the last time for the season, brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Well, Chris, unfortunately, this is the end of our road because it was the end of the road for the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night in California. My goodness, though. I mean, let's look at the positives of everything this team has done this year. Let's start there before we dissect the game.
I'm up for that.
Right? All right. Because youngest team in the NFL, basically on the ropes just a couple of weeks ago, weren't even sure they were going to make it into the playoffs. Nobody knew what they were going to get with Jordan Love and this young receiving core. And then this team turned out to be something a little special. And I texted you on Saturday night, and yes, it stings when your favorite team loses and you know the season is done. And this team had so much promise, but how can you be disappointed going into the off season about what has been built here and the answers that have actually been answered this season? That's what I'm most excited about, I think.
It never fails that in the moment it hurts because it's so abrupt.
Yeah.
All the preparation and planning, in addition to the alternate path of, we may be heading to Detroit next next Sunday for the championship and all that, so it hurts. But if you look at it just from a realistic where they at in their franchise progression kind of thing, 1 year postseason absence, they move on from a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you make it back to the playoffs,
right?
And not only that, you win a game in the playoffs against a team on the road like Dallas, and not only that, you take the Niners toe-to-toe down to the end in a game, every opportunity to win. I felt like they should have won it. I thought they outplayed the Niners for the most part. And in addition to all that, and this doesn't even count Jordan Love and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and some of those cats, 14 rookies played in the postseason for the Packers this year. 14 rookies got that great experience, Maddie. I mean, you cannot put a price on that.
You know, and one of the things that Matt LaFleur said in the press conference afterwards, and there were a couple things, and we'll talk about the other comment here in a minute, but one of the things he said is, you know, and I get how the ebb and flow of the NFL, you're going to bring in players, there's going to be players not with this team, but he's like, we'll never have this team together. And in my mind, I was like, but you will. The core of this team is going to be together for quite a while because they are on just starting their contracts, right, for a majority of them. Jordan Love has got one more year on the current contract they signed him with. There's talk over the weekend that they're going to extend him in the offseason because obviously you don't want to get into a Daniel Jones situation like the Giants got into. Also frees up some cap when you can, you know, sign him to an extension. So I think that's going to be taken care of. But when he said that, I was like, no, you're going to miss some pieces, but they have very few players who are free agents coming up in the next few weeks too. The core of this team overall is going to be together for quite a while yet, and I think that's the most exciting part. And I get the dynamics are going to change. You're going to bring in people from the draft, maybe a free agent or two to plug and play, so I get that, but the core is together for a while. And I think if you're not excited about that, you're missing some really big pieces from this season, especially as well as this young team played. And you know, and that's the bummer of the whole thing is, you're right, they should have won that game. It felt a lot like the Falcons game to me, though, where they were in control for most of it, and then it was just some mistakes on their own part that really just kept them from putting the dagger, so to speak, into the 49ers. And that's what it felt like. They made their own mistakes, and let's start with that on the offense.
Well, I was just going to mention, you know, Maddie, real quick, forward, too, just to add on to what we're talking about here for the future. Devondre Campbell's a big money guy, and they're going to move on from him. You're going to save some money there. Aaron Jones, I think in the 1 year, 17 mil or whatever he's got for next season, I think they're going to restructure some of that.
Yes, agreed.
And he'll be amenable and he'll come back. John Runyon would be another guy that would be up, but I believe Prep and Sean Ryan for where they're at. I feel like they put themselves in a position at right guard where either they love Runyon enough to stick with him, or they feel good enough about Ryan to go ahead with him.
Right.
But either way, you've got it covered. And in all three instances, at right guard, at running back, at inside linebacker especially, you can handle those three positions in the draft because you've got draft capital to take care of A, B, and C right there without a problem. And you've also dug out some cap room now for you, cleared some up a little bit. This offseason won't be great. Next year's will be even better. But the point is they can fill the holes that they need. And good Lord, they don't have a whole lot of holes that need to be filling. No. I mean, I still say, and I totally disagree with people who act like, okay, Rashid Walker's the stud at left tackle from here on to eternity. Please.
Yes.
They did what they did with Rashid. But a left tackle and a running back on offense, and then, Maddie, to your heart's content, whatever three top 100 picks you want to use on, go for it, because they've really put themselves in an incredible position going ahead.
You got to reward.
Safety inside linebacker would be two of mine right away. The guy that replaces Campbell, because McDuffie's good in his role as the backup and the teamer, and then a safety.
Really, and when you watch this 49ers game, those were the two positions that stood out to me the most, where the 49ers have obviously put some money into those, especially an off-the-ball linebacker, right? Oh. I mean, the Packers don't have that, and they really need to get it, especially if they're going to try to run the same sort of offense and have the same sort of team built to this somewhat of the same capacity as the 49ers, right? You really need that position. You look at what those guys were able to do in the middle of the field. Fred Warner, hello, come on now.
Yeah.
Greenlaw, he's a stud up there as well. So, I mean, these are positions that I think they really have to have. And the safety.
Well, Maddie, to your point on this, the inside linebacker, you look at who's the Ravens and Niners probably in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
those four inside linebackers could be the four best in the NFL.
Yes, agreed.
Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, and the Niners, two cats, and one of them had the two interceptions. Good Lord.
Yeah, and you can tell because they're two of the best defenses in the league, and they're fast, and they tackle immediately, and nobody gets yards on them. And you can just tell that these guys are just a breed above everybody else. I mean, it just is what it is. And the safety room, to me, is a position that I feel like Goody's been kicking the can on for a little bit. Like, he wasn't really sure, trying to give Darnell Savage a chance. We know that, according to LaFleur, Darnell Savage is the best communicator back there, and you can tell because when he was back in the game, that the DBs looked much more consistent than they had when he was out of the game. So I do give him credit for that, but is he really the answer? Maybe he's part of the answer, but he's not the full answer. And I think you need to go solidify that position as well and really give your corners some help, because sometimes those corners get stuck out on an island by themselves because the safeties are just not good enough to help over the top. It's just not happening right now. But let's look at the offense here for just a minute, because here's where I thought the game changed, and I don't think a lot of people have talked about this very much. I thought the game really changed for the offense when Zach Tom went out with a concussion. I mean, the offense looked completely different, and Jordan Love was being flushed out of the pocket for a majority of the rest of the evening after they didn't have Zach Tom over on that side of the line. No disrespect to Josh Diamond. He has pulled his weight. We know what a kind of true rotation guy he is. Zach Tom, I think, being out for part of the third and into the fourth quarter made a huge difference for the offensive line. Jordan Love didn't look as comfortable in the pocket. He didn't have as much time to throw, and he was being flushed out and having to rush a whole lot more than he had been the rest of the game. And I feel like I'm not going to excuse the really bad pass at the end, which we'll talk about in a minute as well, but I felt like that was really a difference maker against that 49ers front, is when Zach Tom went out and they
didn't
have anybody on its side.
I think it dovetails with what I said about Rashid Walker. You've already got a game plan where you're doing what you can to keep your left tackle afloat, right?
Sure.
I mean, they gave him some help. When you lose your best offensive lineman,
yes,
into right tackle for the last 25 or 6 snaps, which end up being the most critical, as always, 25 or 26 snaps right. in the game. You're right, the pressure amped up. The run game wasn't quite as effective. I mean, when they did get some big runs with Jones, it was usually on the left side of the O-line, not yep. the right side after yep. that, and that's kind of how the game played out. So the Zach Tom, the head injury, the shot to the head or whatever it was that was a tough blow. I know Debo Samuel and Niners can counter with all their right. blah, blah, blahs, but let's face it, you know, that was a big deal on that matchup yeah. especially.
Yes, I totally agree, and I haven't seen a lot of people talking about that. Everybody's been focused more on the interceptions, which came at a really bad time when Jordan Love has been so careful with the ball. However, I think he was less careful with the ball because of the pressure that he was getting after Zach Tom went out. That's my personal take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that last interception of the game. Jordan Love called it the mortal sin. As soon as he threw that ball, you could tell he knew it was the wrong move. And a lot of people I saw, you know, out there, like different Packers reporters, people on social media who blog and do all of this stuff, it was a kind of a Brett Favre moment if you were a Packers fan, right? And everybody's been yeah. comparing him to Favre and Rodgers all season. Here's the thing that I think's different, though, with Love, and I want to know if you agree with me. He's very cerebral in how he goes about things, and I appreciate that about him. And he's a learner from things he's seen and things that have happened in situations. Now, why Brett Favre would break your heart, and we all know this, within an instant from game to game, or could anyway, let's put it like that, I don't see Jordan Love ever making that throw again after he goes back, watches it, talks with his coaching staff. I don't right. see that move ever coming again, but that's my interpretation of him. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, the Cardinal sin late back across the middle. The problem I had with it even more than that was the down and distance. I mean, it's yes. first down. You know, you're yeah. at your 36. You've got time yet. You need a field goal. I know it's Anders.
Yep.
I got to pray and close my eyes, Carlson, but yet you had that opportunity and kind of just yeah. threw that one away. The other interception was darn near as bad behind yeah. Tucker Kraft, and I don't know that Kraft could have hauled it in if it had been a perfect throw. It was just a bad decision to go there. Three guys yeah. around him mirrored, and that led to the field goal that really made a big deal out of Carlson's miss because they did cash in. So I think those two interceptions and doggone it, you know, have that come in the final yeah. really just late third quarter for Love, and he yeah. will learn from it, though. To your point yeah. about him, I don't have any doubts. He didn't stay to continue to be the same guy that struggled at the end of the no. Raiders game and the Broncos game and all those games that we saw. He advanced and got better. I didn't even see a receiver in the area, Maddie. I'm still no. not quite sure what in the hay. I'm not so sure he wasn't just trying to throw it away.
I think that kind of felt like what it was, but it's the 49ers defense. So if they see an opportunity, they're going to come down with it, right? Because that's just how good they are. No, and I totally agree with you. I think he was trying to throw it away. Maybe he thought, you know, he had more trajectory on it or more arm on it to get it to the sideline. I have no idea, but it was a bad decision.
You know, the other part of the game that just frosted my fanny a little bit, third and one and fourth and one at the Niners 14.
Yeah.
And now you've got to make a decision. Are we going to be totally aggressive or are we not? But there yeah. are different methods to be aggressive.
Yes.
And when you're third and one, fourth and one, you don't throw on either of those.
No.
In that situation, it's either if you're not willing to throw, I guess, and it's easy to second guess if Jones gets the first sure. down, but whatever. But take the points.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I totally agree.
If you're going to go for it and throw it in the well, how many times did they throw it in the end zone other than to Bo Melton?
But here's the thing that I think after, and I mentioned that there was another comment that Matt LaFleur made after the game. He got up to the podium and he literally said, and this isn't verbatim, but he was like, when Anders goes out to kick, I just close my eyes and pray. I was like, whoa.
No.
All right. So that tells me right then and there that coach was doing what he was doing because there was no trust that Anders was going to get the points. And that tells you a lot about where they are in the kicking situation, even if they've expressed that Anders is up to the job. No, there's going to be a whole lot of competition at camp for the kicking position. Don't kid yourself.
It has to be, Maddie, because the level this team's on now. I mean, this is a Super Bowl potential team. You know, you don't have a gross hood ornament on a beautiful brand new Mercedes Benz.
Right. Unless you look at the defense, which we're going to here in a second.
So you want to look under the hood now.
Oh, man. So here was my problem with here's the thing. I don't want to throw Joe Barry under the bus too much because he actually kept McCaffrey to what? Like under 100 yards in this game. Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact number.
97, so, I think. But
good for Joe Barry. However, Here was my problem. In the third quarter, when they really, really needed a stop, right? And they needed the offense to get back on the field, and the offense needed the defense to come through in a big way, complimentary football. Joe Barry goes from blitzing four and five linemen to three linemen, and then goes two safety high for zone and soft coverage.
I know.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? And the thing that bothers me about this the most is, again, it's Joe Barry's situational awareness, as we've talked all season. This was not the time to go soft coverage too high and only blitz three. This was not your time. Besides, at that point in time, you had Brock Purdy kind of on the ropes. He was looking a little shaky and not quite as accurate at that given moment in time, and then you decide to blitz three? I mean, what are we doing here? This, even I was like, blitz another man. Like, bring somebody else in. Bring some more pressure. It just didn't make any sense
I had
to me what
the
that
feeling,
plan was.
I had a feeling of letting them off the hook, just like you did. Yeah, and in fact, 10 for 16 on third down, Maddie. 62.5%.
Right.
I mean, that's for the game. The last three third down conversions all in a row on that touchdown drive to end it.
Right.
But you had third and 10, a 21-yarder to Jennings.
Yes.
Third and 9, a 12-yarder to Ayuk. And I know they're going to make plays.
Nobody
third and 6 to Kittle
area.
For a 32-yard touchdown. Third and 5, 32-yard touchdown to Kittle. I mean, third down, 5, third and 6, both big plays to Kittle. And they really didn't. I mean, they were third down may have been their worst down of the night.
Oh, my goodness. And it was actually really frustrating. And as soon as they lined up, I was like, why are we doing three-man blitzes here?
I know.
Like, why would this be the time in the game when they are this close to taking the lead and the offense is obviously struggling right now that you change the entire plan? And I get you got to rotate things around. You got to keep the offense honest. But at the same time, why would this be the most opportune time that you can think of in a game to change everything you've been doing that's been working effectively and go with what was happening at that point in time? Again, I've used the word with Joe Barry many, many times this season. It was baffling because he just makes the wrong decisions at the wrong time. And there's been a lot of speculation over the last week or so regarding Matt LaFleur's comments, and we talked about it Friday, about Joe Barry potentially keeping his job. And I think that is a gross misjustice for this young team if they choose to keep Joe Barry in that role. You need a guy who's cutthroat, who's going to go out there and shut it down and let them have their plays, but not let them convert 21 yards. I mean,
you know, I want a guy who that everyone else views as the next great head coach.
Right.
Not a guy who, well, clearly he's not going to be a head coach material. So if you're willing to settle for less, why? It is time to move on. I mean, I said it midseason. I'll say it again. You and I actually kind of insider stuff. Preparing alternate show opens in case
right.
Barry's fired.
Right.
I mean, that's where we were at. We, in all seriousness, you know, and
right.
for a good reason, and that I think will happen. I mean, I don't know that it's
so.
Necessarily a firing at this stage as much as a handshake and thanks,
right.
Joe.
I mean, it was
send him on his way.
Max texted me at one point because he was watching the game with some friends in Milwaukee, and he's like, is Joe Barry trying to be fired at this point? Like, does he not want his job at this point? He's like, what is with this coverage? So it's a little disheartening because the defense up until that moment in time had really kept the game respectable. They had kept them in check. They had made sure that the 49ers were not getting too many yards. And so then at the same time, I'm kind of like, if you're a player right now, you're like, well, what are we doing? What we've been doing had been working, so why did we just change everything? And obviously it's not working. So I'm hoping that decision comes in the next few days. I'd still love to see him bring somebody home like Al Harris or, you know, somebody just outside of the box that brings a little bit more grit to this defense, kind of knows how to go out there and shut things down. I know Mike Vrabel still isn't really tied to anybody. He would be a natural maybe guy if he wants to not be.
Don't you think it's odd that he's not tied to anybody?
I think
doesn't that kind of give you a little bit of confidence,
I mean,
maybe?
The Chargers aren't really tied to anybody right now. I mean, I know the Falcons are closest to maybe getting Belichick at this point in time with the two interviews they've had with him. But it seems like the teams this year are really taking their time, or they're just waiting for these other teams to finish up because they know who they want to go out and get.
That's true. Well, the thing with a guy like Mike Vrabel, Maddie, I mean, if I'm him, I'm his agent. I'm not just going anywhere this offseason because, gosh,
right.
I have to be a head coach in the NFL. I
right.
want to be a head coach at a place I want to be the head coach.
Right.
And clearly Vrabel was hunkered down in Tennessee. I think that was a mistake on their part, but
yes.
good for the rest of the league, whoever gets him. But he may want a year to assess in Green Bay as a D coordinator. Let's see what's going on. Stay in the game, stay current. And I mean, how demanding would it be for Vrabel to be the D coordinator with his buddy LaFleur as the head coach?
Oh,
shoot.
Man.
I mean, it might be fun. Dare I say fun?
Yeah, right? I mean, and honestly, this team is fun. This is a fun team. They're young. I mean, we've talked about that all year. They're fun. You're watching them learn in real time, which has actually been more exciting than things we've seen the past few years, because you just knew what to kind of expect, unless an injury popped up. You're watching them learn in real time. And the thing that I think I'm most excited about, especially as I was watching other playoff teams all weekend long, there's not a number one. There's not a number one guy. And that's actually really cool for this team, because when you watch the Lions or you watch the Ravens, they're always trying to get the ball to the one guy. And if that one guy, like when Deebo Samuel got hurt against the 49ers, they